This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service. ATFCU.com is the website. All right, guys. Jonathan Combo tweeted about moving to linebacker. Combo has had experience tweeting his feelings, tweeting how he feels, and these feelings seem to be very positive. Feelings filled with excitement. Jonathan Combo. Reference, moving to linebacker. Touchdown, turnover. Jonathan Combo will have his best year at the University of Tennessee at the linebacker position. Touchdown or turnover?
Turnover because LB is not linebacker. It's left back in FIFA. Soccer.
I see what you did there.
I go touchdown, but I don't necessarily think it's because of the position change. I think it's because he's actually has good coaching. I think he's going to take his game to the next level because of the coaching he will receive. But in terms of position changes, I think it can only benefit him. He's an intimidating force on the outside. He's a quick guy. I think he'll be able to get around the pass rusher with the proper technique once he's taught it. The biggest thing that stood out to me, my initial reaction when I saw that he was switching positions, wasn't on the field, but the fact that it seems as if Combo didn't fight it, to where as he fought moving to defensive tackle, maybe because that's outside linebacker is much more appealing than playing defensive tackle, but it told me that there's a sense of respect there for the coaching, and that was honestly my biggest takeaway. But I go touchdown that he will have his best season at outside linebacker this season.
I'm right there with Ben. I think the coaching is better, and just the environment that this team is in is better in a general sense, and that just turns into good results. I don't know what a great season for Jonathan Combo looks like at this point, because I thought he would produce more than he has by now. So it's hard exactly to say what he'll look
five
like.
Sacks.
But I think it could have been better up to this point, but I think maybe in some sense he finally does live up to some of that hype. And he doesn't seem, at least what I've seen, doesn't seem fast enough to be a true linebacker, but maybe since it is sort of a defensive end linebacker combination thing in the defense that Jeremy Pruitt likely will run, I think he'll excel at least much more than he has in his first 2 years.
I'm going touchdown. The reason why is because Ben, you said he's going to be happy because he has better coaching, and part of coaching is changing your position and knowing exactly where you need to play. Come again and say, you know what? You're better at this position. If Khalil McKenzie was still here, would he be playing defensive tackle? I don't know. He's a perfect 3-4 defensive tackle. He's a big old body. But he's playing guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. So would he have moved if he would have stayed? I don't know that. If Evan Berry had another year of eligibility, he's probably playing wide receiver. So part of coaching is knowing where you fit best. Jonathan Combo, I didn't think this needed to be like announced or anything. I think everyone probably knew that this is the position that he was playing. Mm-hmm. Because in a 3-4, the defensive end is kind of like the outside linebacker. And you don't really have to be the fastest. You just have to be really great at rushing a passer and being able to set the edge there as a defensive end. It's kind of the same thing. Now, you will have some pass responsibilities, maybe in the flats, things like that. Maybe blitz come from the other side, and you are faking like you're going to blitz, but then you kind of drop back and you get that pick on the quarterback, thrown to a crossing route, he doesn't see you, something like that. But I'm happy for Combo because this is what Combo wanted to do the entire time. He wanted to rush the passer. Doesn't matter if you are listed as a defensive end. Does not matter if you're listed as a linebacker. Jonathan Combo wants to rush the quarterback. He wants to rush the passer. And the reason why he was upset during that little stretch is because he was lied to. He was lied to. Does anyone here like to be lied to? No. Raise your hand if you want to be lied to. No, thank you. You don't want to be lied to. When you know you only have 2 or 3 years, you're coming from JUCO, you don't have time to be playing games.
No.
Like, when you get older, you just don't engage in conflicts or fake beefs or fake arguments anymore. You just let people have it. You know, when you were younger, you're a little bit immature. You try to win every single debate, every single argument. You didn't want to lose any type of argument at all. But as you get older, you're like, yeah, you can have it. I'm sorry. I'm too old to be arguing with you about this.
Yeah.
You get mature. You just do.
And I don't blame Butch Jones and his staff for trying to move Jonathan Kongbo to the inside when Kongbo arrived, because at that point you had Derek Barnett on the edge and you had Corey Vereen on the edge. Combo isn't playing over those two, quite frankly. But the problem that they ran into is that they lied to him.
You were not honest.
You broke promises with him. So it's one thing to want to move him to the inside of the defensive line, but be upfront with him in recruiting. Don't promise him that he's going to play defensive end over Derek Barnett and Corey Vereen. Like, first off, what are you thinking? Promising him playing time over Vereen and Derek Barnett. Like, that's silliness.
So this whole Tristan Thompson off the court drama that's taking place, where, like, you know, he was Khloe Kardashian was carrying his baby, and information came out about him and other women and stuff like that. That's like terrible. That's terrible to go through if you're Khloe. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, the world's not knowing about this stuff.
No,
probably more than likely. What Twitter and the internet gives you a platform to spill the beans if you're not doing the right thing. College football coaches, you better do the right thing, because a guy who is unhappy, now you may have to transfer after spilling the beans, but you still can do it.
Graduate transfer?
You still can do it. Before, the only people that you had to rely on to be able to help spill the beans for you were media members.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the emergence of Twitter and Facebook, you can kind of put the message out yourself.
And message boards.
Yourself, exactly. And so, coaches, you better start treating people right, because this stuff can get out if you don't treat them right at all. So, Combo, because of Twitter, and not saying what Combo did was right, because I totally hated what he did. I was not the biggest fan of that move. I criticized Jonathan Combo because he was not being the best teammate that he can be. I will not criticize a student athlete unless it is absolutely about effort and attitude. If you work hard, you try hard, you give it all you got, and you don't get it done, you're still one of us. I get it. You're not going to make every play. I could not sit here and criticize Pig Howard for the fumble at the goal line in 2013. He gave it all that he had. I can't. But when you are a bad teammate and you cause disruption in the locker room, like a David Rogers when he did, I'll criticize you because that's unacceptable. But a Josh Dobbs playing his heart out and coming up a little bit short, I'm not going to criticize. He gave it all he had. Effort, attitude is what you'll be criticized here on, for sure. And Combo displayed some poor effort and attitude during that stretch. But we all knew what was going on. It was absolute chaos inside that program. And players had enough. They had enough, and Combo let it be known.
I mean, in a sense, the kid's almost restarting his college career in a way. I mean, it, you know, fresh coach, fresh, but you know, more or less a fresh position. I genuinely, I'm rooting for him. I hope he takes advantage of this opportunity that he's getting, because I physically, it's all there for Jonathan Kongbo. We just got to make it translate onto the football field.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, hour two here, 8:13 on a beautiful Monday, 865-255-03, FM 100.9, AM 850, Rocky Top Sports. Stay with us.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jared Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jared Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue isn't just a great place to go for dinner. They have fantastic lunch specials every day. Monday through Friday, they offer great deals on different meals each day. Dead End Barbecue has the smoke and sweet meal with half-smoked chicken, a side, choice of bread and banana pudding on Monday, brisket French dip on Tuesday, salmon salad on Wednesday, Thursday is the cold smoked turkey BLT, and center cut bone-in pork chop on Friday. Not to mention, you can get a bowl of beans and smoked sausage for $6 every day. So when you are looking for somewhere to go for lunch during the week, look no further than Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, your lunch search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain Event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
On the on-air text box, this is how you can use a text box. If you're listening on the radio, you do not use a text box while you're driving, okay? That's rule number one of the Swain Event app. Do not text and drive. But if you are parked, you are outside of your vehicle, and you want to send in a question, you want to send in a comment, you can do that by going to the Swain Event app, clicking on text host, and you can send us a question or a comment, and then we get those on this side. Now, VFL, Shad said, you think Combo is quick enough to play linebacker? Well, he's quick enough to play outside linebacker, which is the equivalent of a defensive end. And Combo is athletic. He's athletic. There's no doubt about that. We also have to factor, and I told the guys this during the break, that all of our players over the last 2 years played with really no empowerment. You just played because it's a football game and you had, you know, you got up. I remember 2005, there was so much weird energy going on offense. It just wasn't there, lack of chemistry. And you played hard, but you were not empowered because you didn't really believe in what you were doing offensively. And
you're only playing for yourself.
Who was playing? No, I mean, you weren't really playing for yourself. Like, you were trying to play for the next guy beside you. I mean, you played hard. I can speak for myself. I mean, you played hard, but it's like you just wasn't 100% sure what was going on. You didn't have confidence in that what you was doing was the right game plan or you had the right players playing. And so for the last 2 years, yeah, when the lights are on, you just go play hard. But it's not a flip of the switch. I tell young receivers this all the time when I train them. I tell my daughter this every day about listening in the follow directions. You don't flip the switch on when you go to school. You're either a hard worker or you're not. You're either a great listener or you're not. You don't flip the switch. It's not a sometimes thing. It's an all-the-time thing. This is something that David Cutcliffe used to tell us. What David Cutcliffe tells us is what I live by every single day and what I teach my kids. It's not a sometimes thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't ignore mommy and daddy and then go to school and, oh, I'm the best student ever. I'm the best listener ever. No, you don't flip the switch. And last year, in the last two years, these guys tried to flip the switch. They went from being miserable and in Vol Walk, you're supposed to just magically flip a switch and go out and give your all to have these results. And it's not that, it doesn't work that way. Combo didn't have any empowerment. Take Combo's athleticism, merge that with the empowerment that Tracy Rocker, Kevin Scherer, Jeremy Pruitt, will give Combo the confidence that Combo will have when he lines up on defense this year. He's going to play better. The best inspirational speakers, they make you feel like you can do something. They make you feel like you are worth more than what you think you are worth. The best coaches make you believe you can do things that you didn't believe you can do. That's empowerment. Mm-hmm. And that's what these guys did not have.
I think that.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think there is so much power in that intangible part of sports in general, but football specifically, because you have to be so physical and so ready to play. I think that can be so huge. Like, I was listening to a podcast about hockey, but the guys that host it are former hockey players. And something that really stuck out to me when I was listening, one of the guys said, he can tell 3 minutes into a game whether a team like is in the right headspace. He said you don't need long to realize, ooh, those guys didn't come prepared. They didn't come. They're not in the right. They don't have it tonight. They're not going to be aggressive. And he said sometimes those teams, it's a coach problem, and it just starts from there. And so a team, you know, the real, you know, crappy teams sometimes just never get in that headspace.
I mean, you
and
saw.
So, just to finish that, I mean, I think obviously players who play the game see it a lot. I think if just an observer like myself had never played college football, I think we all see it. And yeah, that can make such a giant difference. As much as it is, it's almost, like I said, it's not a tangible idea. It's more just in a player's mind. But I think that can really change the physicality of a game, just being in the right headspace.
Yeah, I mean, that's real. Because
yeah,
I never played college basketball. I can tell you the three games right now that Tennessee did not show up mentally for this past basketball season.
Yep.
Alabama, I could tell 2 minutes into the game that they were about to get toasted, and they absolutely did, losing like 78-50. Mm-hmm. Jordan Bone misses a dunk. I mean, just
poor.
Poor communication on the offensive end of the floor, the defensive end of the floor. They lost at Missouri. They showed poor communication that game. You can just tell early on whether they're into it mentally by the way they're communicating with their teammates, by the way they're kind of running around. It's easy to really tell, and that's something that Tennessee football team kind of displayed last season.
I'm going to give you an example of empowerment from a coach to a player, to where a coach will make you feel like you can run through a brick wall, or a karate instructor who's like, you know what, we're going to break a brick. You're like, what? I'm going to break a brick? Okay, well, give me a hammer. No, you didn't hear me. We're going to break a brick with your hand. No, man, I can't do that. I can't break a brick with my hand. Yes, you can. Here's why. You have strength inside. You're ready for this. You're ready for this moment. You trained your whole life for this. You can do it. Let's go. Do this. And then you do it and you break it. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't think I can break it. Well, that's because your karate instructor just put so much positive energy into you and empowered you to do it. And you did something that you didn't think you were able to do. Here's an example. Pete Carroll is that guy. Yes. Pete Carroll is one of the best at doing this. He took a bunch of guys who people didn't want. Now, some of those players have gone now, but Richard Sherman was a fifth-round pick who was playing wide receiver at Stanford and then moved to DB. They didn't want him. How about Doug Baldwin, who was kicked out of KC, was a high draft pick, and they kicked him out. Now he's been Russell Wilson's best target.
Even Russell Wilson wasn't wanted to an extent Russell because Wilson, how short he is.
Russell Wilson as well. How about Michael Bennett, who started his career with Tampa Bay before he went to Seattle? And his team was full of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He believed in him, and that empowerment, I'm telling you, it matters. Urban Meyer, the first championship in the college football playoff, a young football team. They go up against Alabama, and they wear them out because Urban Meyer, all that week, all those 2 weeks in the locker room, make these guys believe that they were better than probably what they were. That is a skill. That is something that Jonathan Combo, when you have a guy that's played at a high level, like our guys, not guy, but guys, playing at a high level, the Tracy Rockers, the Chris Rump, those guys, and they're sitting here telling you, you can do this. This is what I did. This is what I taught others to do. And they're playing at the next level. You can do this. Let's go. You start believing, okay, man, I can do it too. How about look at quarterbacks? Look at quarterbacks that maybe wasn't so great in a different system, but under a particular system, they were really, really good. Kirk Cousins with Jay Gruden. Oh, man, really good. David Cutcliffe with Eric Ainge. That's a good example. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just saw the difference because Coach Cutcliffe empowered our quarterback.
You saw this past year. How about Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher compared to Jared Goff with
Sean McVay. That's a great example. That's a perfect example.
Well, I mean, you don't even have to see it on the football field. When you were speaking a minute ago, it popped into my about the karate and chopping and all that. I could never do that, but that's neither here nor there.
You think you can never do
yes.
it?
Yes.
Or like when – I got another one. How about when renowned speaker Tony Robbins – he makes those people walk on hot coals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, psh,
bump that.
Man, I'm not about to walk on hot coals. And some of y'all don't need to walk on hot coals because you got corn on your feet, and we don't need a big old bowl of popcorn at the inspirational function, okay? But Tony Robbins walking on hot coals is another example, too.
But, I mean, just think about even, I would say, to our to our listeners, think about how you feel when we have a day where we have to be negative about something compared to a day where we get to be positive about everything.
It's the worst.
Like, it can ruin your day have to come on here and say, well, John Curry tried to hire Greg Schiano and everyone's pissed off, and, you know, and compared to when we come on here and, hey, Tennessee beat Florida.
Phil Fulmer has been hired as athletic director.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there is power in positive thinking, as much as I know there are people out there that think, you can't do it. There really is. I truly, truly believe that.
Yeah, and I think it's manifesting as we speak right now, because you bring up karate, I think of in the weight room, of being able to squat a certain amount of weight, being able to bench press a certain amount of weight, being able to deadlift, power clean,
perfect
stuff like
example.
That. And that's something Tennessee has not had the last couple of seasons, a guy in the weight room that they 100% believed in.
Oh, yeah. That's a great example.
In what they're doing, and we say it all the time, the biggest coach, the most important coach to a head coach is the strength and conditioning coach. And you'll start to see that with Craig Fitzgerald and the way he kind of motivates and empowers these guys.
That's a great example, because how many times have you sat down on the bench press and, well, if you haven't done it, heard someone else done it, and you're like, okay, we're going to do 90% of our max. You're going to do it five times or two times or three times. And you're like, huh, there's no way, man. I think I can only do it one time.
What I do, I call a spotter. Hey, well, I think I'm going to need your help on this one.
You think you can only do it one time until you lay down and you push it up one time, and then everybody around you is like, come on, you can do it. Let's go. Think about Florida. Think about Alabama. You can do it, Ben. You can do it, Charlie. You the man. And then before you know it, you've done three reps. You're like, oh my gosh. Well, that's that positive reinforcement that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Chris Lowe is joining us next here on the Swain Event, ESPN. We'll get his take on the grad transfers around the SEC. Stay with us, Swain Event, Rocky Top Sports. Be right back.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Hey, it's Jason Swain. There's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a medical provider that you trust and that specializes in testosterone. I got my levels tested at the Low T Center. Their physicians exclusively diagnose and treat men with low T. At the Low T Center, it's quick and easy. Treatment is even covered by most health insurance. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store, with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Small town, like a small town.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain Event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Glad that you are with us this morning. We are set to be joined by Chris Lowe, ESPN. He is probably the most famous college football writer in the world.
Wow, that's bold.
I mean, he's that famous. And if you want to talk with him, you have to get on his schedule. You have to talk to his agent.
It has to be a special occasion. And today is a special occasion on Swain Event because this is our first day back on terrestrial radio there at 8:50 a.m. and 100.9. Chris probably wouldn't have done this interview if it wasn't for a special occasion because he's just that important.
And I think people don't realize we have to pay Chris 3 bitcoins every single time he comes on. It's his going rate. Every single time he comes on a radio show, he requires that. So he basically bleeds us dry. It's worth it because it's Chris Lowe.
Oh, it's definitely worth it. Chris, good morning. Was I accurate in describing how hard it is to get you on the show?
Well, let me say a couple things right off the bat. First of all, what a blessing it is to have Jason Swain back on the radio in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Just great to be
back with you on the radio in our great city. And number two, to set the record straight, and thanks for the introduction, although it was a little over the top, had a chance to spend some time with you, Jason, out at the Randy Davis Memorial Milk Drive at Ingle.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Great program. Milk, donating milk to the needy kids, part of the Second Harvest program. But the line was wrapped around the building 3 times there to get Jason's autograph, to get pictures with Jason. Not me, but Jason. So what's that tell you about who is Hollywood?
No, that is not what happened. But we did collect a lot of milk, and that milk will be distributed among 18 counties in East Tennessee for the Second Harvest Food Bank. Randy Davis passed away of cancer years ago. Before he passed away, his goal, he was a milk farmer himself, but his goal was to provide milk for families in need. And that's been the most requested item for families is milk, because you can do some
great program.
Oh, yeah.
I would invite anybody listening.
Oh yeah. And
to get down there next year and be a part of that and anything you can do for Second Harvest. But that's a great program for kids, and it was cool to see all the people coming out and donating their time and their money to go to what truly is God's work.
This is a true story too. So, you know, over the weekend there's been some thunderstorms, and it was like raining a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like the rain clouds went away and the sun came out. And as the sun was coming out, Chris Lowe walked up to the front.
True story.
True story. It happened. You had like superpowers, Chris. True story.
All right. Enough.
So this transfer rule, I'm kind of surprised that it was passed, because it makes too much sense, and it benefits a student athlete. Ben is a little worried that it's going to create some free agency. Nick Saban, he loves to operate on fear, to kind of push his agenda, push his narrative. You don't have to agree with that, because I know y'all boys blame it on me, but that's kind of what he did with the whole fast pace, no huddle. He just didn't want to guard against it. And so he talked about how it was bad for the game, how guys can get hurt, when in all actuality, 22 guys piling up on each other in the power running game gets you hurt more than playing against no huddle offense. But anyways, I'm surprised they changed the rule. Say that again, Chris.
I said Coach Saban always speaks so highly of you, so to hear you talk about him pushing his agenda. But anyway,
I'm just saying, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, and I get it. You know, I get it. If you're everyone in the league.
David doesn't say or do anything without it being calculated.
Absolutely.
He's one of the smartest people I know or have met in business. But
no doubt.
I'm not surprised it was passed, though. I mean, I'm really not. Okay. I thought that there was a movement to do this, and there's really been more of a movement to side with the student athlete in college sports and college football. Not probably as much as a lot of people would want, you know, when it comes to paying them and that type of thing. But when it comes to being able to move around, especially if you get your degree. See, here's my thing, and I sort of agree a little bit with your guys. I do think it's going to open the door to some quasi-free agency. And who stands to – you go back to Saban, who stands to benefit that from that as much as anybody? A program like Alabama or Clemson, Ohio State. You know, if a kid who's a really good player, especially at a lower level, graduates in 3 years, and he wants to go play somewhere else and maybe win a championship, where are you going to go? You go to Alabama. You go to Clemson. You go to Ohio State. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, then this rule maybe will help save him as much as it will anybody. Now, what's going to happen is guys that can't get on the field for him, like this kid, the backup center, that wants to come to Tennessee, they're going to be able to go within the conference now and play. And see, I think if you're going to have this rule, if you're going to, if the powers that be vote in a grad transfer rule and they think it's good for college football, college sports, then if you graduate, you should be able to go where you want to go. Because that's the goal when you step on campus, is to get your degree, right?
Yeah.
And if you do everything that it takes to do that, and you're disciplined enough and committed enough in 3 years to get your degree, and you still have a year of eligibility, then you should be able to go where you want to go play your last year. Now, we can disagree all day about whether it really what the concept is, what it was supposed to be, because when it was put in, it was an academic rule that if I want to go get my degree, my graduate degree, and the school I'm at doesn't have that major, that curriculum, I could go somewhere else and get that. Well, that's not what it is. It's basically glorified free agency that I got a year to play. I'm going to go pick the best place for me. If I'm behind this stud quarterback at Tennessee or Ohio State, or I'm a defensive end that wasn't being used like I thought I should be used and I got my degree, I'm going to go to this other school that plays the kind of scheme I want to play. And that's what it's become, all right? You know, is that a bad thing for the student-athlete? I don't think it is. But let's call it what it is. And it really is sort of glorified free agency for kids who are smart enough and disciplined enough and committed enough to get their degrees in 3 years.
From my perspective, let me ask you this, okay? If I'm a wide receiver, and quarterback is different. The quarterback is just, it's a different position, it's different rules because only one guy can play. But let's say I'm a wide receiver, I'm a senior, and I'm entering my last year. I've had 2 or 3 years of off-season workouts and conditioning. I know the playbook. I still can't get on the field. Would Alabama, Florida, Georgia even take me if I can't get on the field at Tennessee? Would I even move the meter any? If I can't play at Tennessee as a senior, how much can I help a team like Georgia, Florida, Ohio State anyways? Or Clemson?
Yeah, in that scenario, probably not.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably not. I mean, I think you're right. Receiver, defensive end, it's different than quarterback.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is a great example.
He is.
If he doesn't win a job, I don't think he will. I think in talking to people close to that program, it's going to be talking about, well, I think he's the guy. And remember, Hurts, now he's got a couple of options because he is on track to graduate, but he would not graduate until December, which means he'd have to go through this season and then graduate, and then he could play immediately next year, but he'd only have 1 year of eligibility remaining. If he transfers, let's say he decides to leave August, which I think ultimately will be what happens, then he would have to sit out a year and still have 2 years of eligibility remaining. Well, they'll be lining up to get him. I mean, what did his dad say in the story this summer? He'll be the biggest free agent in college football history. I don't know about college football history, but you can bet that there'll be a lot of schools lining up to get him. But let's go back to that scenario where let's say he does decide to stay and graduate. Think about this scenario. So he goes through this season, he plays backup to Tiger Bowl or gets some time or whatever, graduates in December, he's a grad transfer. You could see a scenario where in 2019 he's playing for Auburn. Ooh. Against Alabama or Tennessee or Georgia or whoever, LSU. I think that's that scenario that coaches that don't like this. A lot of coaches don't like this rule. You know, here's a guy you invested 3 years in. He's been a good player for you. Maybe you recruited over his head, whatever happened. And now he's going to come and he's going to try to beat you. And you know if that happens. Again, just using Jalen as an example, how motivated he will be. So there's a lot of different sides of this rule. I still think the root of it is this. If you're going to have the rule, and they do have the rule, and everybody in college sports thinks it's a good rule, then there shouldn't be any restrictions if you get your degree. You should be able to go where you want to go if you've got a degree and play that last year.
Chris, this is a little more of a general question towards your philosophy on college football. Ben had a take earlier where he said that the college football as a game is bigger than any single player or coach, and I said I personally disagree because I think the players are really what comes first here, because this isn't the NFL. This isn't these guys' job, basically. It is, but it's not in the definition of the NCAA. And really, the players should be valued over the game, because at the end of the day, most of these guys don't make it to the pros. They want to get a degree and advance their life. But if that makes sense to you, what's your take on that?
Well, I see it from the player's perspective, because they're generating so much income and revenue for all these schools, through TV contracts, the playoffs, through, merchandise sales of the schools, the season tickets. So, listen, if I had a son, if I were playing right now in this age, and I would want more of a piece of the pie. But college football is, to me, different than just about anything else out there, because there's so much tradition, and it's one of those things where you see generations of people and families that follow their team or their school. I'll tell you this, and I think Jason can weigh on this. You mentioned that it's not the NFL, and it's not. But now, obviously, the NFL looks at it like their feeder league. And I'll tell you who else does. And I'm 100% confident of this, because I've talked to enough people and coaches and players. I'd say 90% of every kid in Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and Ohio State, USC and Florida State and Michigan, those schools recruit, think they're going to play in the NFL. Am I wrong, Jason?
You're right, 100%.
Every one of them, not everyone, but 80 to 90%, and that's a conservative estimate, at 17 years old, if your Final Four is Florida State, Tennessee, and Ohio State, and Nebraska, that kid thinks he's going to play NFL football. And he's basing his decision on where he's going to go largely on where he thinks can help get him there the fastest.
Yep.
Or will be most successful in getting him ready for the NFL. Maybe it's a position coach. Maybe it's a strength program. Maybe it's their track record. Alabama's had, 9 million first-round picks in the last 10 years. Whatever it is. Maybe it's their facilities. But he's looking at that. That's at the top of his list. Not the top of his list, if he's that kind of player. If he's the number 4 rated defensive in the country, friend, it's on the top of his mom's list and his granddad's list and his brother's list and his next-door neighbor's list. Those kids in that pool of players at the Tennessees, the Georgias, and LSUs, and Ohio State's recruiting, the large, large majority of them think they're going to go play NFL football. So that's the way schools gear their recruitment of these kids. So I think it works both ways. And we all know that's not reality. Very few of them go on to play NFL football, and even fewer of them go on to where you can make the kind of living and the kind of money. And you play enough years in the NFL, you're set financially. So, my advice, if anybody's listening out there right now who's going through the recruitment process, don't really think you can start your career, whatever that is, off the field, on the field, and go somewhere where you think, 20, 25 years from now, it, because you went to this school, you're still going to be able to make a living doing whatever you're doing, whether it's football or non-football.
Chris Lowe here on the Swain Event. Swain Event is live today on Rocky Top Sports, news station in East Tennessee, 100.9, 850 AM on your radio dial. Chris, the whole Darren Kirkland Jr. thing was just really weird. You talked to Jeremy Pruitt, and I've given the people my take on that. I want to hear your take. I thought it was a little awkward that he put out the statement before talking to the coach and before he talked to his family, and they all kind of huddled up and made a decision together, and then 100% knowing that I'm either staying or leaving. But for Tennessee fans, I'm glad that you have a player coming back that can help this team. He's going to have to fight for a starting job with Sapp and Batuli. But there's no doubt that he is better on the team than off the team. What's your take on that whole Darren Kirkland Jr. situation?
Well, I know in talking to Jeremy definitely thinks he can help him. He's got to be healthy. And that's been I think that was at the core of all this, Jason. I think the kid was I think he was a little down, a little depressed, you know, and Jeremy told me, you know, the injury has been really tough on him, been hard on him. You know, didn't go through, you know, was very limited in the spring, did a few things in LA, didn't play in the spring game. So, you know, Jeremy really hadn't seen him since Jeremy got the job here on the field. And I think Darren was looking at it like, you know what, a lot of his boys were gone, the guys he came in with, and that was part of it. I've had all these injuries here. New coach, am I really going to get the kind of shot I want to get? I just need to go somewhere and get a fresh start. I'm sure there were other people in his ears, other schools. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. Come on. I mean, none of us are naive. And you're right. I don't think he had talked to Jeremy about it. I don't think he really talked to his family about it. But I just think he was sort of down. I don't think it was that he was unhappy at Tennessee, unhappy with Jeremy Pruitt. I think in the back of his mind, he always wanted to be here and finish his career. But when you go through what he's gone through with the injuries and some other things, sometimes you look at it like, well, maybe I just need a fresh break. And I think once he sat down and talked to Jeremy and his family was there with him, I think it was communicated to him that, listen, you're very much a part of what we want to do here. We want you here. You want to be here. Let's finish what you started. And I think that's sort of the decision that they arrived at. And you're right. He's going to have. You know, it's not like he's going to just walk in and be the guy from day one, but his experience and his productivity when he was healthy tells you that he can help this football team. But, again, you got to stay healthy.
And that's why when this story came out, without saying it as great as you did, was saying, you know, let's pump the brakes, guys. Being injured as a student-athlete is one of the hardest things ever, and it's a possibility that he, you know, emotionally, psychologically, cannot be where he needs to be. I've been through it myself. Well, I've had a scope and was very fearful that I wouldn't finish my career healthy and have a chance to play at the next level. And I was down in the dumps. It affected my schoolwork. It affected my sleep, my energy. It affected everything. Depression is a real deal. And I am comfortable enough to say that I struggled with that when I was going through the same things that Darren Kirkland Jr. went through. Losing and having a major injury is like the worst things ever, because you're here to play football at a high level, and when you can't do that, you blame yourself. You think about the worst possible outcomes, and it's really tough. So I was always kind of easy on Kirkland Jr. At the end of the day, it's his decision. He can do what he wants to do. But I had a feeling that, you know, he just wasn't there, because I saw him wasn't there mentally. I saw him, Chris, during the spring, and when you are hurt, you're not even, like, you're off to the side. You're not even watching practice. You're in your own world. You're in your own practice. And you can feel like you're secluded from the team. You can feel like you're not part of the team. And that's very, very, very tough. So I'm glad that he is back. Chris, let me ask you, you've been covering Tennessee for a very long time. You live here. You know pretty much everyone inside this program that's been a part of it for years and years and years. Joe Harrington finally says yes to an NFL franchise. You know, he's been saying no for a very, very long time. And he finally says yes. And Joe's been doing this for a very long time, 27 years. He is, in my opinion, the best in the business. And John Gruden plucks him. You've known Joe for a long time. Your thoughts on Joe Harrington?
Yeah, Joe is awesome at what he does. You're exactly right. And just go look on, you know, since the news came out that he was going, you know, to the NFL. And you're right, he had several opportunities over the years where people had come after him. But go look on, you know, the shout outs on social media and what other people are saying. You know, guys who've worked with him, come through the program, like yourself, Aaron Hayden, and Peyton Manning swears by the guy. And that tells you all you need to know about what he's meant to the program and how good he is at his job and the fact that the NFL is interested. You know, and there's that name again, man. You just can't separate that name, that J.C. John Gruden name, from Tennessee football.
I can't stand Tennessee.
Hey, Tennessee doesn't get John Gruden, but John Gruden gets one of Tennessee's greatest assets. How about that?
Mm.
For irony. I'm happy for Joe. I mean, Joe's been here, as you said, almost 30 years, doing what he's doing. He has evolved for life. He's a guy that, he really, when you look over there right now in that athletic department, you know, and I think of guys that have been there through the duration and seen the good and seen the bad, you know, he's really one of about three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Max, Fraze, Joe Harrington, that have sort of gone through that whole gamut, you know, of success and the dark ages and been loyal and been great at what they've done and really been a credit to the program. So I'm sorry to see him go because I know how much he's meant to Tennessee and how much Tennessee means to him. But I'm happy for him that he's got a new challenge and there's a new chapter in his life, and I know he'll do great out there. And now, here's the best thing about it. Now we're, you know, let's hope I'm wrong here, but now here in two or three or four or five more years, when the John Gruden rumors start, we'll have somebody out there we can call and ask, is this true, Joe? Did John Gruden really come to Tennessee?
Boy, I'm so tired of John Gruden, Chris. I can't stand him right now because he's playing games. And the only reason I have not scrubbed his voice from this show is because I haven't had enough time to do it because I've been doing everything else, you know, in preparation for this move. But as soon as I get a hold of Seth and sit down, and I'm scrubbing Gruden's voice from the show because what he did this past offseason, him and John Curry, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm done with Gruden. I'm done with Curry. I don't want to hear nothing about John Gruden, and I hope the Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos, and L.A. Chargers whoop up on the Raiders every year now.
Oh,
I'm petty.
16.
I'm petty.
All right, I'm going to give you a question, and then we'll move on. But 1 week into the season, 2 weeks into the season, or a month into the season, what's your best guess before the first call comes into you or any of the shows here in town or any of the talk shows and someone says, hey, did you see the orange wrap or the orange sweater or the orange thing around John's neck? Maybe he's giving us a sign.
Dial-tone.
A week, 2 weeks, or a month, Jason? What are you thinking?
Probably a month, but I'm telling you right now, I'm giving people a warning. If you do that, we will hang up on you.
Yep.
You're going to get the dial tone.
Getting that flush.
I'm not taking any more John Gruden crap anymore, Lo. I'm over it, man. You're laughing. I'm dead serious. I'm done with John Gruden.
You know what the great thing about it is? If that does start up, you know, listen, Jeremy's got a tough job. This thing is not going to turn around overnight. He knows that. You know that. I know that. But if this stuff starts up again, Jeremy's the perfect guy because he couldn't care less about what you or me or anybody else thinks or what they're saying on the talk shows, the internet, about John Gruden and anybody else. Because he's so dialed in to evaluating Tate, the recruiting and coaching and developing. And I think even though he's got, I think, a steep learning curve to be a head coach, all the different hats you have to wear as a head coach, I think where the program is right now, he's probably the perfect kind of guy. I'm not saying he's going to be a guy in 3 or 4 years that has Tennessee winning championships, because I don't know that. The proof's going to be in the pudding.
Yeah.
But he's so dialed in to the things that you've got to do at Tennessee to get Tennessee back, i.e. recruit, evaluate, bring the right guys in, beat Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Florida on the recruiting trail, you know, and then coach those guys and be brutally, brutally honest with them. Because the great players, those guys want you to be brutally honest with you because they know that if they're going to get, going back to my statement earlier in our talk, if they're going to get to where they want to get to the NFL, that's the kind of coaching, the kind of development you got to have.
CeeLo, you the man as always. You are the first guest on the Swain event on the new station. So that's how important you are, Chris.
Andy.
What an honor. What an honor. And again, anytime I can link with the great Jason Swain, HM Hollywood, whether it's at a milk shop, whether it's on radio, whether it's sharing a meal at a better barbecue, it's a good day.
Well, we'll do it again, Chris. I appreciate your time, man. I'll get in contact with your agent for the next booking.
Listen, good luck with the show, man. I'll be listening.
All right, thank you. Chris Lowe, ESPN, right here on the Swain event. We'll take a break here shortly at the top of the hour. 8:58, and then we'll come back with For What on the other side. After we talk to Grant Ramey, and we still got a lot of stuff to cover in our last hour here.
Chris Lowe joining Elite Company, and Andy as one of the first.
Andy's he's not a guest. That was like a phone call.
Andy counts because he calls in at 6:52 every morning. It really was fitting that the first guest, I guess, that we had on Really, it's fitting both. I think both are fitting. It's fitting that Andy was the first caller, and it's really fitting that the CeeLo was the first guest as with us back on radio.
The only thing we're missing is Turkey Man.
Yeah, we got to get him in an hour three. See if he.
No, he'll be here.
Yeah,
he'll be here.
He's pretty sporadic with when he calls in, but
unless he's hunting a turkey. But he
is it turkey season? I don't think it is.
I thought it was a couple weeks ago. Did it end?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
Not a big turkey hunter myself.
No, the only turkey hunting I know about is when it's around November and I go to the grocery store and I see who has the best prices on turkey. That's the only hunt I know about.
Well, even if it's not turkey season, I'm sure Turkey Man is out there hunting something.
Yeah. Maybe. You hear that, John Gruden? We're done with you. I'm done with you, John Gruden. I know you're crushed. I know you're crushed, John Gruden. I know you don't know how to sleep at night. You can't watch film the way you used to watch film because you're thinking about how I'm done with you. I'm done with you, John Gruden.
I hope he goes 0-16 and joins in with the elite company of the Detroit Lions.
You're crushed, John Gruden. We know it. Don't try to hide your pain. We're done with you.
And Cleveland Browns now.
Mm. All right, we got to go to break. Hour 3 around the corner. We'll talk to Grant Ramey of Go Vols 24/7 coming up next.